whatever the German government did, West Germany, which prides itself as being fascist now, the inheritors of neo-Nazism, the Third Reich, Hitler's Third Reich, of these weapons, and to deploy them in Western Europe, regardless of the views of the United States allies on the matter. Also, as you know, U.S. has deployed them in Rhodesia and in Union of South Africa. It's hopeful only, that USA has control of them, because if Union of South Africa, as they are going to fall, being outnumbered 18-1, and in Rhodesia 20-1 or something like that, it's certainly absolute that in time the black and Indian that are outnumbering the whites will win. Then the white regime would of course use such, as they jokingly call by the U.S. Air Force, the nigger bomb, the neutron bomb. West European Parliament and government are now taking decisions to the question of the people of neutron bombs in the hands of a Pentagon general. They don't like this. Soviet news agency points out that this country it does not intend to start the production of the neutron bombs if the States does not produce them either. The Soviet Union also reminded them that they have vastly sophisticated technical warfare weapons that can counter anything that the USA would try to use against the Soviet peoples and her allies, the Warsaw Pact. Our Vietnamese government delegation has arrived in Algeria. It has met the new president. Vietnamese-Algerian talks will cover relations and international problems of interest to both sides. A new earthquake has been registered in Iran last night. They've had enough, it would seem. The epicenter was 207 kilometers on the from Tehran by powerful underground tremors. It also went as far as Tibet, is the northeast part of the country. 20,000 people immediately died as a result of the earthquake in that city and its neighborhood. The number of victims of yesterday's tremor is not reported. You are listening to the roundup of the news from Radio Washington. Now in the closing, cosmonaut and delegate of the Soviet Union have resumed work on the powerful telescope in their space land. The telescope is 1.5 meters in diameter, makes it possible to register star radiation and different light spectra. Today, the cosmonauts has studying ultraviolet radiation. This is the Soviets, you know. They've been over 100 days in space. They've made history, remaining in space far longer than any other country. It can be registered in space because it is absorbed by the atmosphere, practically completed. The cosmonauts are in their fourth month in orbit. Think of that, over 120 days. This is the longest space flight so far. The Communications Center has released data about another major experiment. It's just been corrected by an unmanned new space experiment, which is going to have to be corrected before its unmanned attempt flight for Venus. Both are traveling. When they do, they should reach the vicinity of Venus at the end of December. There's much concern among scientists that there's going to be polluting of other stars and other planets in our solar system. A General Assembly of International Union Forces, the Conservation of Nature, and Urban Resources has opened in Central Asia. Scientists from 50 countries were discussing the rational use of natural resources and environmental protection. In this country, environmental protection is a part of a world economic plan, though environmental concern has been given little concern by the U.S. public. The national budget advocates more than $2 million be supplied yearly, whereas the Soviet Union are providing 200,000 rubles a year. Quite a difference, 200,000 rubles, and they're going to provide I mean, 200,000 million rubles as opposed to a million for ecology and to develop means of controlling pollution, and U.S. is only at $2 million. In the Soviet Union, it is good. It is true of all the main crops, the best year they've had in ages. Crops are coming to the fullest of fruition. Deputy Minister of Agriculture has said in an interview, the large scale food are brimming with good results. In the last 12 years, more and more money has been allocated for the purpose of food than in the previous 50 years. As a result, there has been a sharp increase in the output of farm machinery, chemical fertilizers, immigration has expanded. Average onion and grain production in that period grew by over 60 million tons, and the Soviet Union are encouraging any immigrants that are socialist by nature. And they were still very friendly, by the way, today, very, very friendly, and they'll be arriving tomorrow if everything goes well. So we must have all of our children trained, and we've got to have our Soviet classes tonight at 7:30. Remember, tonight at 7:30, and to be trained in talking about our happiness, and to greet them in Soviet, to be able to say good morning, some of those words that we may just have to carry around the piece of paper and just keep reminding ourselves, because it doesn't come easy. We know it doesn't come easy to remember all that we need to remember. So tonight there will be Soviet classes by your vote at last night's rally, when you said you wanted the meetings to begin at 7:30. The new Pope is considered to be a rightist who will not break with the rigid past. Carter wagering peace popularity on summit success and is expected to lose, according to the British. Begin probably will not budge, but he will have to in the long run, because Israel does not have any oil that USA needs. The fear, however, the nuclear weapons. Stephen threats fail to sway NLRB, the Amalgamated Clothing and Textile Workers Union. ACTWU marked a significant step forward recently in its campaign to organize J.P. Stevens. A complaint filed by the National Labor Relations Board in September charged that Stevens' intimidation tactics and even murder had made a fair election impossible at four plants where a majority supported the union. The NLRB, forced by public pressure, said that the textile firm should recognize the union there immediately. We shall see, we shall see, we shall see. American farmers worry about growing foreign ownership. Who owns farms in USA? Well, much of Texas is owned by Liechtenstein, the King of Liechtenstein. And the Queen of England owns very lucrative land in Mississippi cotton plantations. And it looks like USA is just about to go out of business. In the terms, even Senator Herman E. Talmadge said that 16% of Georgia last year was sold to foreign organizations. It's easy for it to be done because they hide behind U.S. corporations that were set up to protect USA. But USA is becoming the poorest of the nations in many ways because her dollar is losing value. She's had to sell much of her gold, but behind the ownership of American farms, we find 80% of the land has gotten out of control of American interest. Bad news. Portugal replaces socialist rulers, sadly to say, with technocrats. Socialist Soares ouster as a part of anti-democratic strategy. There is still much resistance in the military, but it is not expected that there will be in the immediate future a takeover by socialists again. We have a technocracy. That's a sort of nationalism, not socialism. Danes, the Danish government, the flag of the anti-nuclear movement flew over Denmark, raising the possibility that the Danes will set an example for the world by rejecting all nuclear power plant constructions and neutron bombs that USA is setting, proclaiming Atomkraft, NEJTAK, A-T-O-M-K-R-A-F-T, N-E-J, capital T-A-K. About 300,000 people converged on the Christian Borg Palace at the center of the capital on September 16, and another 15,000 massed on the northern city of Argos. Some 8,000 more rallied in neighboring Sweden, which has 6 nuclear reactors. More and more reaction against nuclear war that the world feels is impending and likely to happen at any moment. Pinochet stalked by domestic foes, U.S. investigators. Angered by the U.S., the government of Pinochet, the dictator of Chile, has threatened to extradite ex-CIA head Richard Helms for the role in Allende era murders because he said the orders came directly from Washington. As you know, ex-CIA head Richard Helms is now the head of Bechtel Corporation. But that's the news. Even Chile, right-wing Chile, is getting tired of taking all the heat when they said that the orders for these killings were done by directly from Washington through the CIA. Our tax dollars again. Guerrillas hit El Salvador. The Salvadoran Catholic Church denounced the disappearance of 99% persons arrested by the police. Archbishop Arnulfo Romero, listing all names of the cathedral mass, said church government relations had become increasingly strained since the church came out in defense of the oppressed. Last week, the armed forces of resistance kidnapped a Swedish telephone company executive, demanding in exchange for him publication of a manifesto that the guerrilla organization intends to continue fighting against U.S. imperialism and multinational corporations. Multinationals, U.S. corporate multinationals exit Argentina. The latest of thousands of kidnappings of opponents of the military dictatorship are Elias Zaman and Roberto Cristina, leaders of the Maoists, Tennessee. Their whereabouts are unknown. Following the closing of the General Motors plant in Buenos Aires, Goodyear tire and plants supplying GM with plate glass and gears have substantially stopped production, and the first wave of firings have begun in plants supplying electrical equipment, coils, and also condensers. GM, General Motors car concessionaires, that's the one that makes Chevrolet, are suing the company, stating that they represent a higher capital investment than the GM subsidiary itself and that they had to fire most of their employees. Meanwhile, Citroën, C-I-T-R-O-E-N, has cut production to 30 cars a day. Mercedes-Benz has fired 1,700 workers who asked for raises. Borgward, B-O-R-G-W-A-R-D, has laid off 1,500 of its 1,700 employees, and John Deere and Massey Ferguson have closed down for permanently this month. The union leader said this was a solid demonstration for those who see a solution for the Argentine economy in the good intentions of multinational capital and enterprises, which in fact act exclusively in their own interest. The general exercising governorship of Buenos Aires, the capital of Argentina province, said this will be good for so overextended an industry. The wages received by the workers are fully satisfactory. Wages don't matter. When they don't need you, they let you go. They're moving to cheaper and cheaper places because Argentina, there's too many big capitalists being kidnapped. Peru copper miners strike. The strike of 400,000 miners and metal workers paralyzing copper, zinc, iron, and lead mines have entered its 17th week, with losses to date of more than $800 million. A Peruvian miner with 10 years seniority receives about $3 a day. 15,000 miners with their wives and children camped in the gardens of Lima the capital of Peru, faculty of medicine, and marched through the city to publicize their struggle. In spite of it being an act of treason that can cause their death by a military tribunal. That's a brave people. There were reports the strikers had been ousted. That's just across the way from us here in Guyana. There were reports that strikers had been ousted and sent back to the mining areas. Firing of 35,000 public employees had been authorized but not carried out. In view of the privations they already share with private industrial workers, the Bank Employees Federation is set to strike. The left and the Constituent Assembly insist that unilateral repudiation of Peru's foreign debt, now exceeding $8 billion, is the only solution we have. Paid it long ago with interest, they state, in the nation's wealth, which multinational fascist corporations in USA have siphoned out, leaving crumbs in exchange. New Townley murder charge. Hortense Busse, B-U-S-S-I, H-O-R-T-E-N-S-E, widow of Socialist President Allende, said yesterday that the American Michael Townley, alleged murder of Chilean ex-foreign minister Orlando Letelier, also made the bomb for the assassination in Buenos Aires of General Carlos Prats, defense minister and commander-in-chief of the Chilean army under Allende, and was aided in the total operation by the CIA. Well, that gives you a fair coverage of the news of the day. We hope that you will study the news, because testing is bound to come this time. We've gone too far. Carter's getting in trouble even in the United States for his bad neighbor policy of supporting the murderous regime of Somoza in Nicaragua. Agnew, former vice president, ghost haunts Faber and us. He's moving up. Finding and imprisonment of New York Times reporter Marlon A. Faber and fining of the Times for refusing to obey a subpoena to turn over Faber's entire files relating to the New Jersey murder trial of Dr. Mario Ijaskalevich is another in a series of blows against the free press in the United States. It follows closely upon the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling that the Fourth Amendment does not prevent judges from warranting police to invade newspaper offices without warrant, without court orders, to search and seize materials in journalists' files and desks. Unlike the near-universal protest by media people and civil libertarians against the Fourth Amendment ruling, the response to the Faber ruling has been divided, and even some protesters in apathetic America. That's why there's no hope. That's why we needed to come here and build here and take any other opportunity that's offered to us, and the world looks better, because America's too apathetic. They have been ambivalent in their opposition. That means divided. The Faber case is said poses two difficult questions, that of the two basic rights in conflict, the freedom of the press versus the right to a fair trial, and that of whether freedom of the press elevates journalists above the law. We think, however, that carefully examining the Faber case does not involve these questions, so simply put, but that they are false issues occurring, obscuring the real issue of press freedom. This is good old Agnew's wish. He wanted to stifle the press, and he's finally got it done. Nixon is on the comeback trail. Nixon has a 35% higher rating at the poll than Carter, the President of the United States. Since he resigned 4 years ago, he's received an annual pension of $66,000 a year, even though his wife has suffered a heart attack and he's having repeated illness, plus another $35,000 for other governmental services, and a postal allotment of $14,700 a year. This in addition to a stipend of $150,000 a year for staff and office expense. To this must be added the $650,000 plus 10% of the profits he received for his television performance last year with the repulsive operator David Frost. They must have been useful to someone aside from Dick and David. Now they were carried by 138 stations. National sponsors paid $125,000 a minute for 6 minutes in each of four shows, and local stations sold the other 6 minutes to local sponsors, to their everlasting shame. Those sponsors include such hucksters as Alpo and Calcon, Gallo Wines, Datsun, Columbia Pictures, Chevrolet Dealers, Red Carpet Real Estate, Northern California Savings, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Bufferin, World Savings, Pontiac, Pacific Stereo, Carte Blanche Sizzler, fast food chain, a new one, which is an ad nauseum chain owned by a group of racists. So, that's where Nick's in it. So these little items add the 2,000, 2 million, 3 million.